rough-hewn, with a red iron beard and little scars on face and hands. Here's an explorer who intuitively understands that Adam's curse will obtain in whatever territory he discovers. Man must live by the sweat of his brow. Isak is a born worker. Apparently, the consequences of Adam's fall extend to the animal kingdom, since it's hard to imagine beasts of burden, overtaxed horses, oxen, mules, toiling unrelievedly in Eden. Often likened to an animal, Isak slowly raised his hand up to his hair, like a bear raising his paw. He pulled it, the log, up to the hut like an ox. Isak is a great one for bearing loads, and whether man or animal, he accepts his burdens without complaint, as though not having a load on his back was a lazy way of life and nothing for him. In Growth of the Soil, Hamsun writes magnificently against his natural grain. Readers familiar with his earlier, shorter, perhaps more celebrated books, Hunger or Pan or Mysteries, know Hamsun as a writer of bright fragments, lyrical explosions. Growth of the Soil proceeds at a different tempo. In this vast novel, Hamsun is uncharacteristically patient and painstaking. He means to recreate what life was like for an earlier generation of homesteaders in the Norwegian forests of the far north. Hamsun's long life, 1859 to 1952, encompassed broad transformations in his Scandinavian homeland. And if Growth of the Soil unfolds in a world deliberately removed from dates and datable events, it heralds the arrival of the modern world. By the novel's conclusion, the virgin territory that Isak cleared by hand is strung with telegraph wires and combed by mowing machines. Soon after clearing his land, Isak finds a mate, the elusive Inger, a tall, brown-eyed girl, buxom and coarse, with a pair of good, heavy hands. She was wearing boots of reindeer hide on her feet, though she was no Lapp, and carrying a calfskin bag on her back. Though her face is deformed by a hair lip that reduces her voice to a sort of hissing, like a vent leaking steam, Isak is devoted to her, as he is to the children of their union. But even as the story grows increasingly populated, it maintains an uncluttered purity. For it is still, always, the tale of Isak's efforts to wrest a livelihood, and eventually a flourishing prosperity, out of a terrain inimical toward the faint-hearted. A man comes walking north, yes, and everything else is a luxury and an embellishment. The closest English-language cousin to Growth of the Soil may be Daniel Defoe's Robinson Crusoe. Both books extol that least romantic of virtues, husbandry, above all others. When Crusoe finally meets the native he christens Friday, a welcome relay of human emotions floods the narrative. Even so, what lingers in the reader's mind is the marooned man's resourceful solitude, to which Friday's arrival seems but an accentual contrast. Paleontologists like to remind us that the survival of Homo sapiens was hardly a sure bet across the disease and climate-ravaged eons, a notion that would probably have drawn a mulling nod of agreement from Hamsun. To what, then, do we owe our ongoing existence? To the Isaks among us, who, in their doggedness, their unthinking resolution, treat adversity as nothing less than their due. Isak might be regarded as someone blessed with an unreflecting soul. Not so his creator, whose attempts to sift the world's complexities led to shameful loyalties and consequences. Hamsun was a Nazi sympathizer in a country conquered by the Nazis. And unlike a good many writers whose flirtation with fascism cooled as the